Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Pastor Greg Huffman, who is on staff at Brookside Baptist Church. And Pastor Huffman, we are right in the middle of a series of broadcasts that we're doing on the Beatitudes. In fact, we've called that larger series, Becoming a Person of Impact. And all we're doing is working our way through these eight Beatitudes that are so familiar to us, that describe the kind of character that the Lord had and the kind of character that he wants us to have so that we can be salt and light. And I think we're in the middle of the third character quality, if I'm not mistaken. We're talking about what it means to be meek.
And I guess when you consider this, it's probably the hardest one that we apply. It's easy for us to listen to people that have this characteristic and we say, good for them. But boy, when it comes down to the practical application, this is what God wants me to do today. That's where we kind of stall and say, well, now, Lord, you know, you got to understand my situation. And I think the Lord's looking at us and he's saying, and so tell me what your point is, because any kind of disobedience, I don't understand.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Lord, you don't understand my situation, Ed, but we're the people who believe in omniscience. And
hello.
He reads the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. You know, I think what will be helpful to me, and I hope to our leaders, is to maybe take this broadcast and talk about how to manifest what we've been talking about. We spent a broadcast talking about the meaning of meekness. And we noted that it was a disposition that God wants all of us to cultivate through which we pass our personality. We're not just excused because we have a type A personality.
Right.
And that disposition manifests itself in responses. And those responses need to be marked by gentleness and by kindness, by firmness. It's not the idea of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a lot about that in that first broadcast when we first introduced the Beatitude of Meekness. And then we actually spent the last broadcast looking at some Bible models. And we talked about maybe bringing some people around the table mentally, and our listeners could imagine those people here with us if we had Abraham here. And I think we had David at the table.
Right.
Joseph, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm.
And Moses.
And we just looked at their personalities, and every one of those men was different. And every one of them had a different way of expressing their personalities. I mean, you can imagine what these men would have been like.
Right.
But they were all meek.
And the amazing thing when we think about Moses is the fact that he has been accused by the people as being headstrong and dictatorial, and we want to vote on how you're going to lead us and where you're going to lead us. And even Moses and Miriam kind of got caught up in that. And right when they were starting to criticize their brother, the Bible specifically says Moses said nothing, mm-hmm. but was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And at that point, God stepped in. Mm-hmm. And boy, when I've read that numbers of times, I wonder if there aren't times where God is ready to step into my situation, but I blow it.
And I open my mouth.
Exactly. Right.
Well, let's talk about what does it look like in our life. And I think that's a good way. What you just said is a good segue into the first way that we display meekness. And we display meekness by right responses.
Mm.
And I think that's so key, that our responses be right to those who injure us, to those who insult us, to those who irritate us. Sometimes these people are intending to do that, like Shimei was.
Right.
Sometimes they're doing it out of a perceived sense of justice, a misperceived sense of justice, like Miriam was and like Aaron. I mean, they thought they were representing the people. Why should we all? I mean, this isn't right. So they were maybe doing this out of a misperception of what, maybe some envy. We don't know. I mean, it's so hard to read a person's motive. Sometimes the people that love us the most and that are behind us the most and that support us the most are the ones that frustrate us the most. So meekness comes out primarily in our responses. I've talked about the difference between a response and a reaction, but I'd be curious to know what your thoughts on that was.
Well, I think a reaction is a picture of carnality coming out in everyday form. People have said it's not often that we get in trouble with our actions, but more than that, with our reactions. Mm-hmm. But yet, God wants us to respond, kind of like a shock absorber does for a car.
Yeah.
That when that car goes down the road and the tire hits this huge pothole, the shock absorber causes that to just kind of come back slowly as opposed to just mm-hmm. popping back.
Yeah.
And what a picture for me as a dad or for me as a husband to just kind of come back slowly.
Yeah. That's a great illustration.
And if I don't do that, then whatever comes as a result of my words, I begin to have to put ketchup on them because I've got to eat them.
Yeah, and you know, the scripture talks about our words being like spear thrusts,
right.
Like sword thrusts. You know, displaying meekness in my right responses means I refuse to harbor angry thoughts and to engage in speaking angry words or exhibiting angry deeds. It's mm-hmm. the idea of mm-hmm. restraint. Remember we talked about meekness being strength under control?
Right.
It's the idea of holding myself back in right responses. Let me give you a second way that we display meekness. We display meekness in righteous restraint. It's not just that I respond properly and I don't react. I love that shock absorber illustration. But I also have to restrain my natural reactions. And that typically comes in the whole issue of my temper and my tongue, particularly when I have the power and the authority to inflict damage on somebody else's life.
I know when I had boys at home, there were times that they would be so frustrating that I'd send one of them who was in trouble to his bedroom. And then I knew if I walk in that bedroom feeling the way I feel, he's going to die.
So, well, they all lived, so yeah, we know that you have limited.
So I have to sometimes kind of go out in the backyard and just tell him, sit there on the bed and think about what he's done or said. And I have to get myself under control before I can walk in and talk to him about his control.
And this is, I think, exhibited primarily in Joseph. I mean, he had, of all the Bible characters that I'm aware of, he had more opportunity and more reason to strike out, and he refused to engage in wrong speech and in wrong response. He consistently exhibited right responses, and he consistently exhibited righteous restraint. Now, the other characters did it. Okay, David did it on some days,
right,
and on other days he didn't. Moses did it on some days, but there was at least 2 days where he didn't. And you
sure.
had a dead Egyptian buried in the sand.
Right.
And you had God saying to him after the second day, now, pal, I appreciate the fact you're leading the people and everything, but you're not going in. And, you know, you have that. You have David not exhibiting restraint with Bathsheba.
Right.
But Joseph consistently throughout his entire life manifests righteous restraint and right responses every time you encounter him.
It's amazing to me when he's in prison and the butler and baker have their dreams, and he interprets the butler's dream and he says, now when you get back into your position, tell Pharaoh I'm here and I've been falsely accused. And then 2 years passes.
Mm.
And then God sends a dream to Pharaoh. You ever wondered why God didn't send a dream to Pharaoh earlier so that the butler could remember him? But yet 2 years passed. Mm. And I think maybe God was still doing a work in Joseph's life so that when finally he does have the opportunity 2 years later to stand before the Pharaoh, he never says a word about his situation. Mm-hmm. After he's interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, he shuts his mouth, backs up and bows his head, so to speak. And at that point, I think God says, okay, you're now ready to become the leader I've wanted you to be mm-hmm. because you're going to trust me with the details.
Amen.
And not try to work it out yourself.
And that's so key, isn't it?
It really
is.
It's
so hard. Let me give you a third way that I think we can manifest meekness and that we can see in the lives of these men. One is by displaying right responses, and the other is by acting in righteous restraint. But here's a third way, in a refusal to retaliate. Now, here's the Bible example. Here's Miriam, and here's Aaron, and these two know better. They know that God appointed Moses. But in the midst of all of it, they stir up the people against Moses. They get irritated with Moses. They don't like it that he's the man
mm-hmm.
in charge.
Right.
And they stir up the people. I mean, they created a big headache for Moses. Here are some 2 million people in the desert, and people are really upset at him. And when he goes to find out the root of all of this, you know, just what he needed that day out in the desert.
Sure.
When he goes to find the root of it, it's his brother and his sister, the two people that he was counting on that should most of all know better.
Right.
And so, of course, God intervenes, and Miriam is smitten with leprosy. This is an amazing thing to me in the story, because Moses could have said, well, you deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He prayed for Miriam, and he interceded. And the idea there is it's not like a reluctant intercession. It is a desperate intercession.
Begging
Lord,
God.
Please don't do this to her.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all the problem that she had created for him and all of the issue that she had done for him, he goes to God and he intercedes for her. And he's the one guy at that particular stage in the story that could have been justified in just being quiet.
Kind of like when Job was asked to pray for his three friends, that God wouldn't judge them
right.
at the end. And he made the choice whether or not to pray for them, because knowing that if he didn't pray for them, God was going to judge them for what they'd said for the last 7 months. That would be hard.
You know, I can think of people in my life that, you know, I'm certainly not going to go and punch them in the nose, and I know enough how to be outwardly righteous. But, boy, praying for them, I'm praying that God will judge them.
Or fall off the edge of the earth or something.
But praying the way right. Moses interceded here. So, you know, meekness is a quality that comes out here. He refuses to retaliate. And then let me give you one final way. Meekness displays itself in our lives when we determine to remain faithful under difficulty. You use the illustration of Joseph. Think about the 2 years that you were talking about in the Pharaoh's prison.
Right.
He was falsely accused. He was put in that prison. He was restricted. He was limited. I mean, all of the things that God had told him in the dream were just impossible now that he was in an Egyptian prison and forgotten by everybody, including God. And yet he remains faithful. And at the end of it all, he can look back and say, now all of this happened because God was trying to bring about this day that many people could be delivered. He had a much bigger picture about his own life than even liberty or pleasure or freedom. He was willing to trust himself to the Lord and just remain faithful. And that's really the heart of meekness. And that's really how we become salt and light. So what a great beatitude. I hope as you've been listening that you'll take time to download this broadcast and the other broadcasts in the series Becoming a Person of Impact, and maybe pass the word along to a friend or somebody that you think could benefit from this as well as yourself. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.